Now, a 1030 KVOI news update provided by Tucson News Now.
Good afternoon at 12:02. I'm Ed Alexander on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Senator John McCain released a statement today in response to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on immigration. McCain said, quote, "This decision further emphasizes that the president cannot rewrite the laws he finds problematic, nor skirt the separation of powers whenever he feels it inconvenient. Immigration is an issue that must be debated and decided by the representatives of the people, not by executive fiat. I hope that after today's ruling, Congress can get back to work, advancing bipartisan solutions to fix our broken immigration system once and for all," unquote. Cochise County Search and Rescue found a 15-year-old boy who went missing while hiking the Mule Mountains near Bisbee yesterday. Cochise County Sheriff's Office said he was checked by medics and released to his parents. His father called authorities to tell them his son had called to say he was lost and out of water. Aircraft from the Sheriff's Office, Arizona DPS, and Border Patrol aided in the search. And the University of Arizona baseball team shut out UC Santa Barbara 3-0 last night in a College World Series elimination game. The Cats now need to win 2 games against Oklahoma State, who they beat Monday, to reach the finals. They'll play the Cowboys Friday at noon on ESPN2, and if they win, again on Saturday, to advance to next week's best-of-3 finals. Arizona pitchers have allowed only 2 runs in their 3 College World Series games this year. Tucson weather, sprinkles around our city this morning, and, looking for a high about 105 today. It's the Buckmaster Show next on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on a nicely, how do we put this, overcast, different kind of day with actually a few raindrops. Wouldn't it be nice if the overcast just stuck around the whole day and the temperature really didn't go into triple digits for a change? Be a very, very nice change indeed. Today is Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. Hope the week has gone well for you. I had a flat tire on the way over to the radio station, and that's kind of how my day started. But nowadays, some of these cars have what they call drive flat. So I'm driving around on a flat tire until I can get it fixed after the show. So anyway, AAA, you won't need to hear from me. At least immediately. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 for your calls, questions, comments. We'll talk education the first half hour. Dr. Mark Stegeman is here in studio with me. And then we're going to talk hockey in the desert. Yes, the Tucson will have a professional hockey team. We're going to talk about that in the second half hour, and we invite you to become a friend of our program on Facebook. There's still some room for some more. We welcome you. You can find us on Facebook pretty easy under my name, and we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Stegeman joining us now. Dr. Stegeman, how are you?
Very well, Bill. I'm enjoying my summer.
Do you work during the summer at the University of Arizona, or this year you're taking? Now, you did a sabbatical last year, right?
Actually, it was more than last year.
What's more already? It's
yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
At Michigan. That was
That's
great.
Right.
But we don't get to do that every year, unfortunately.
No. So how will you spend your summer?
Well, summer we traditionally spend doing research. That's when you catch up on research. And I have some administrative work I have to do as well, and getting our courses ready. And then some of us have other distractions as well.
Other distractions and your other duty, of course, with as a governing board member of the Tucson Unified School District. For people who don't know you, you've been on the board how many years?
I'm wrapping up my 8th year.
Yeah, and you've been a frequent critic of Dr. H.T. Sanchez.
Well, I would rather...
Would you not say frequent? Am I mischaracterizing?
I think that we should focus on schools and policy. I try to depersonalize things. I mean, that's I think too much of the rhetoric in TU is too much of the conversation is about people, so I'd rather talk about what we're doing or not doing.
Well, you just put out your constituent letter that goes out to members of the media and people who live, anyone that really wants it, right?
Yeah, quite a few people get it at this point.
They get it. And you articulate in the letter several things. In fact, it says right here, if you wish to be removed from the list, just send you an email. Of these items, and let's see, there's, about half dozen items. Why don't we begin with Dr. Sanchez's review and his performance, well, the performance evaluation and bonus.
Right.
Should he have gotten the bonus of $14,898, which, by the way, he has donated to charity?
Well, yes, last TUSD superintendents traditionally, I mean, we didn't always have these bonuses, but since we've had the bonuses, they usually either give it back to the district. Liz did the simplest thing.
Liz Fagan.
Yeah, she just didn't take it, which I thought was the best.
Just keep it in the coffers of TUSD.
And others have donated some or all of it. Last year, Dr. Sanchez donated $7,500 of his bonus to Camp Cooper, which I think is a very good cause. And I'm sure he'll donate some of it this year.
Well.
So that's good.
Yeah.
The evaluation, regardless of the money tied to it, is an important function of the board, and it's a process that needs to be done with integrity, I think. And I've had some concerns about how we've done it the last couple of years.
Jim is on the live line. Jim, I know you're very busy, so I wanted to take your call. Our friend Jim Kelly, go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Stegman. You know, one of the things I'm concerned about is the declining enrollment and, of course, the declining number of people that work for TUSD. And I'm wondering, is there a mechanism legally within the county or the state where parents can take their schools away from TUSD and form their own districts? In other words, decentralize TUSD as a whole and let the parents of the schools form their own districts, and now those schools no longer have to, continue to fall under the desegregation plan. And done.
Reorganizing districts is not impossible, but difficult in Arizona. And they've been trying to do some of that up in Maricopa County, and the legislature has to take an action, and then voters have to approve it, and they've had trouble getting that stuff approved. But it is possible the legislature could propose something, and voters would have to approve it. One interesting thing that isn't often done is that there's an explicit provision to allow districts to merge. And you're probably thinking more of splitting up than merging, but I've often thought, what if we just merged with the Vail District and surrendered ourselves to the administration of Vail?
Would you give up your board position?
I would happily happily give up my board or restand for election, see if the Vail voters wanted me. But it is possible. There is an explicit provision. There's not a provision for splitting districts, but there is actually a provision for combining them if the voters of both districts want to. So think about that.
You've said, and you say it here in your constituent letter, that the board is like a circus. The headline, Board Circus.
Yes.
Even the scheduling on the board meetings now has become politicized. You got blindsided, apparently, here on the day of a meeting. You had told people you were going to not be available, and that was their go-ahead, in your opinion, to schedule a board meeting because they knew you would not be there.
Well, we had a couple of we had one earlier in the year when they just scheduled one without asking anybody, and then I said, I've got a dinner that night. I can't go, and they said, well, too bad. And so they just met, and they had rescheduled it because Dr. Sanchez had a trip, and so they did it to accommodate his schedule. So we understand whose presence is important at board meetings. Well, of course, everybody, the board members and a superintendent, but it's kind of funny not to ask. And the thing that happened last Tuesday was I had told them they had proposed a date, and I said, I can't do it that date. How about some other date? But they said, no, this is the date, and they voted on it. And then they said, but since Dr. Stegeman won't come, we won't have it, and it's going to totally mess everything up.
Okay.
So it was
You also
it was a setup. It was felt like a setup.
You felt like a setup.
Well, if it wasn't a setup, then why couldn't we have picked a different day?
I don't know, but
which I suggested in the meeting. I said, "Well, how about instead of meeting on Monday, we meet on Tuesday?" But no one wanted to discuss that.
You also talk about Channel 9's recent report about grade fixing or grade changing, not fixing grades at Pueblo High School. Are you convinced this actually happened?
Well, I wasn't there. There's some pretty good evidence that it happened. This thing, I think, got started because people at Pueblo were concerned about it and were writing or talking about it. And I think I haven't done an investigation myself, and I don't think the district has done one. But from what I know, there's a lot of evidence that it happened. And Channel 9 had some evidence.
Who can change a grade?
Under Arizona statute, the teacher's right to assign grades is protected, and the only way you can change a teacher's grade is to take it to the governing board. And that has occasionally happened, but not very often.
But there is precedent for
that. There is a mechanism if something really goes haywire that you can take it to the governing board, and the governing board can reverse a grade.
Now, what was this op-ed that you
But that had? Did not happen here.
So. You had an op-ed on the, I think it was the Star, what was the Star, 3 weeks ago, I think, that you were laying out a case that there has to be a change, in your opinion, on the board.
Yes, I think we've got ourselves into an unusual situation. We have three board members that basically always vote together. That's unusual. That's not our history. In split votes, of course, most votes are unanimous. People tend to forget that most.
What percentage are then split votes, would you say?
I'd say, I haven't counted this, but I'd say maybe 20 to 25% of votes might end up being split.
With you and Mr. Hicks as the minority voting members.
Well, the way it's been, it used to be that if it was split, it split all different ways. But
and by minority, I'm referring to the negative votes.
Right, right. The fewer number of votes.
Yes.
But now, basically, votes, if they're not unanimous, there's three ways they go. Either it's 4-1 and I'm the dissenter, it's 4-1 and Mr. Hicks is the dissenter, or it's 3-2 and Mr. Hicks and I are the dissenters. I mean, Hicks and I don't always vote together. We actually vote differently quite frequently, but the other three always vote together. So that's almost always. So that's pretty unusual, and I don't think it's healthy.
All right, we'll take a pause right here to tell our wonderful listeners about a place that, if you're into gardening at all, I love to garden, and Green Things over off River Road, they do such a beautiful job. I want to tell you about their free workshop that's coming up Saturday. Actually, they've got two this weekend. They'll be talking about succulents, 10 a.m. on Saturday morning at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. And then plants that do pretty well in the summer will be the topic of the Sunday free event at Green Things, which is just west of intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. Jan and Jack are the owners. You couldn't ask for two nicer people who are so knowledgeable about gardening, and we really appreciate their support. Please stop by Green Things. Be right back. Dr. Mark Stegeman will be here for another segment, 790-2040. Perhaps he said something that you just do not disagree with, and you can let us know that way. Or if you do disagree, let's hear from you as well. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. Hey, it'd be a good weekend to go to Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, is one of the most beautiful areas of the Southwest. It's in that southwest corner of New Mexico. 3 hour drive, you're going to be in a beautiful area, mile high elevation, which is going to obviously be cooler. Certainly the nights are just very delightful over there. And explore historic Silver City, great restaurants. They've been written up in the New York Times. Some really nice places to eat. And of course, you can hike in the Gila National Wilderness. Good places to stay. Great places like Bear Mountain Lodge. The full listing at southwestnewmexico.org. Spelled out, southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us, member of the TUSD Governing Board. He's among, I don't know, a handful, maybe a half dozen candidates who I think are running for. There are the three incumbents are Dr. Stegeman, you are on the election ballot again, Cam Juarez, and Crystal Foster. The three incumbents are up for re-election. What'd you think of these AZ merit scores? How did TUSD fare overall?
Overall, not that well. Of course, the whole state didn't fare all that well. This is a harder test than the Ames test. But even relative to the state, TUSD did not fare well. But some schools, there's a lot of variation, of course, as is always true in TUSD. It's inconsistent.
Mixed bag. There were some schools that did very well.
Right. So and I attached all the AZ Merit scores, well, not all of them, but all the the summary scores, which is still about 8 pages of spreadsheet, to my letter. It's also posted on my website. So there were 7 schools in a district that beat the state averages consistently, every grade level in both math and English.
Would you like to mention them?
Sure, sure, absolutely. And most of them were A-rated schools under the AIM system. The 6 elementary schools, Drockman, Fruk Tendler, Kellond, Lineweaver, Sam Hughes, and Soling Tom all beat the state averages consistently. And, of course, for the high schools, University High did, which won't surprise anyone. Mm-hmm. And then we had a lot of other schools that didn't beat all the state averages but did very well, like Borman down at the base, which just got court approval to expand, beat the state averages everywhere but 5th grade. So that's pretty good. And we had a lot of other schools that did relatively well.
But overall, it was just some very highs and some very lows.
Right. And I think one of the bigger surprises to me, maybe to some other people if they look at these, because TUSD wasn't really advertising this at all, is that the high schools didn't do that well. So a lot of the middle schools did better relative to the state than the high schools did on average.
Overall, is it a good district?
Well,
sometimes people think it's like, oh my gosh, it's the worst school district around.
No, that's certainly not true. The thing about TUSD is there's tremendous inconsistency. We always have some very good schools, and then we have some pretty good schools, and then we have some schools that need a lot of help.
Why is that? Is that economics? Or?
I think it's that central administration for quite a while has not learned how to consistently build schools and cultivate strong principals. I mean, the success of a school is due more than anything else to the principal and the teaching staff that the principal gathers and mentors and supports. And I felt for a long time the biggest task of central administration is to put strong principals in every school and recruit them and retain them, given whatever professional development they need and support them. And if you did that, then your district would work great. And so a lot of the inconsistency, not all of it, but a lot of it is related to variation in the quality of principals. And of course, when principals turn over a lot, and we've had a tremendous amount of principal turnover, that doesn't help either.
How will the Proposition 123 money be divvied up for TUSD?
That'll be decided soon. The superintendent and one or two of the board members have been saying it'll go into salaries. Of course, that decision hasn't been made. I think everybody thinks a good part of it should go into salaries. One of the complications is that some of it is temporary money and some of it's permanent money. And using temporary money to fund a permanent salary increase might not make sense.
Did you vote for 123?
Well, now that we're past
yeah,
it,
yeah.
I wasn't saying much at the time. No,
no,
Bill, well, it was a close call for
okay.
me. But in the end, I voted no.
You voted no.
I did vote no.
Uh-huh.
I thought the constitutional provisions didn't make sense to me. But it was a close call. It took me a while to come down that way. I felt that if it had gone down, they would have probably gone back to negotiations and come up with something better.
Is the district in real good shape financially as we begin a new fiscal year July 1st?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's hard to decipher the district budget. Arizona statute, the way Arizona has set up school finance, it's almost impossible for school districts to go bankrupt. I mean, it's just they've put in a lot of mechanisms to protect school districts from themselves. One of the problems I've had is drawing down our cash reserves because we several years ago had very substantial cash reserves in various funds. And when Yusuf Awad left, he was a CFO, he raised an alarm bell and said, we're drawing this stuff down. And it's a little hard to decipher what's going on there. So I have concerns. It's clear that some of those reserves are going down. It's clear that some of them have been going up, but in a way that's not sustainable. So I have some concerns about whether we are operating a structural deficit. But I have to get a little more into the budget to understand that completely. I know we've had spending going up, and I don't see where we're saving the money to pay for it, but...
Did Dr. Sanchez meet goals that he had set, that you believe that the board had set for him? Getting back to his evaluation, you and Mr. Hicks voted no to any bonus. Overall, do you think he's doing a good job? He has been in the leadership role the longest in quite a while. It's been a long time since the superintendent had that kind of longevity.
Well, it's a statement about TUSD when staying in a job for 3 years is a near-term record. I think that says more about the district than about any one individual. But I don't think that how long you stay is the measure of success. John Pettacone had a lot of success, did a lot of good things, I felt, and he was here 2.5 years. But he raised student achievement. A lot of scores, that was when we were back on Ames, and really for 2 years in a row, we saw big jumps as measured by the tests, which means something. So I'd say he had many successes, even though he wasn't here long.
What would you like to see the superintendent improve upon?
Just going back to your question, I think some of the goals, well, first, I don't really agree with the goals. I don't think that the goals that the board set are really looking at the most fundamental things like enrollment growth and student achievement. But given the goals that the board set, I think some were pretty well met and some weren't.
Pretty well met? Like what?
Yeah, well, there were things, for example, very specific goals, like we will open student engagement centers. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't have picked that as a goal, but they did, and we did open them. So we clearly that did happen. And there are other things like that clearly did happen. There were other things that were a little harder to judge.
All right, so the board meeting is coming up. You'll be at the next board meeting.
Tuesday
night, right?
The problem I had with the process is with the way we do the evaluation process, and we've done it this way for 2 years, is that the superintendent self-scores his performance on all the goals. For example, with John Pettacone, the board would do that. John would give us a report, we'd score him. And so when the superintendent last year gave himself 100% on 25 out of 25 goals, and this year gave himself 100% on 21 out of 25 goals, then it puts the board in an awkward position, as I write in my letter, because then you're if you disagree with that, you're trying to walk back a score that's already been published.
All right, Dr. Mark Stegeman, hope you have a great summer. Thank you very much.
Sure, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Coming up on 12:30. Are you a hockey fan, Dr. Stegeman?
I'm a fan of anything that brings economic growth to Tucson right now.
That is a good answer. All right, be right back.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs.
Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Our Friday roundtable features Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Mary Herreras of the Tucson Weekly. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is time to talk about hockey, hockey in the desert. It's going to be a reality here in the autumn. Timothy Gasson is a Tucson-based filmmaker and journalist who has directed numerous hockey documentaries, authored books. He's the former media director for University of Arizona Ice Cat Hockey. He's president of the Western Hockey Association Hall of Fame. He's considered Southern Arizona's leading hockey media expert. You can now look for his work. Also, he's doing a column in the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
It's great to be here with you, Bill, and I'm actually the president of the World Hockey Association Hall of Fame. The West is included, but that was the major league of the 1970s that was the competitor for the National Hockey
League. The World Hockey Association. And you're saying it competed with the National Hockey League.
They merged in 1979. And what the connection...
I had no idea.
The connection we have for our whole discussion today is that the WHA, the World Hockey Association, the first Major League team in Arizona was in Phoenix. It was a WHA team, and it was named the Roadrunners.
And when was that? When were the Roadrunners?
That was 40 years ago in the mid-1970s, and there's a Tucson connection there as well because the Phoenix Roadrunners Major League, their farm team, was here in Tucson, and that was Tucson's first pro hockey team in 1975, the Tucson Mavericks.
The Mavericks, okay. So, because I was in Phoenix working for the Associated Press in 1972, and as I recall, I know there was some minor league hockey being played at the Coliseum.
Correct.
Up there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and that also was the Roadrunners. That's why this Roadrunners name for Tucson and for Arizona hockey is so important. Since 1967, the very first pro hockey team in the state of Arizona were called the Roadrunners.
So the Roadrunner name, in your opinion, makes sense, because I've heard some purists, Tim, who've been saying, oh my goodness, that's like we're picking up a Phoenix name.
You know, yeah. I think it's beautiful, and this is what my first column for the Arizona Daily Star is, AZ Puckman, that's the name I'm using. talking about Arizona hockey. I talk about the reveal that they had for the Roadrunners name and logo last weekend at the Tucson Convention Center, and I believe it's the perfect name for Tucson's team. You know, some fans were saying they wanted a gimmick name, like some smaller markets have the El Paso Chihuahuas or something silly like that.
The Tucson Heat.
Well, people forget in 2001 there was a team that almost made it here called the Tucson Scorch. The Tucson Scorch. And
That never got off the ground.
I was set to do the radio for that team.
Oh, my goodness.
We were
all
ready to go to our very first game when the owner didn't post his money to the league.
Oh.
We got all the way to our very first game. But the point of that story was people were afraid that perhaps the Coyotes were going to pick an abstract name like the Avalanche or the Scorch.
Right.
And I think Tucson really needed a name. This was the name that 2 months ago when I wrote a column for the Arizona Daily Star in support of this a team coming to Tucson, I said Roadrunners would be perfect, and I'm delighted with that choice.
Some people have said that, they have said this is not a professional sports town, and that they point to the difficulty we have had with AAA baseball and on it goes, because we have had, you know, we've had other professional teams. You were mentioning some of the earlier, the hockey teams. Why is this different, Timothy Gasson? Why is the Roadrunner hockey a different mix than what we've seen before here?
The main element that will make the Tucson Roadrunners a long-standing tradition in Tucson and become the most successful professional sports franchise in Tucson history is the fact that it has real ownership. No professional team, especially in hockey in Tucson, has had the kind of ownership that can have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, and really have a long-term business plan for Tucson. They were always, well, let's see if we can generate enough ticket sales in the first year to survive to the second year. That's what all the hockey teams in Tucson had before, and they were also in much lower leagues. Now we have the Arizona Coyotes in the National Hockey League having their top farm team in Tucson with a level of hockey that is just going to amaze the fans in Tucson.
We might talk a bit about the way young players come along in professional hockey. It's a little different than the way the baseball progression is. A lot of the kids, well, let's face it, if you grew up like I did in Chicago, and a lot of these kids in Canada, if they don't have a rink, a public rink, they've got an ice pond in the neighborhood, and they grow up on skates literally at the age of 3 and 4, maybe even younger, and they're playing hockey. There's something in Canada called the juniors, and it is, I remember we were in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and they have a statue to Wayne Gretzky.
The Sault Ste. Sioux, yes.
The Sioux, because Gretzky played junior league hockey in that town. And I tell you, anywhere you go in Sault Ste. Marie, everybody reflects. I don't know if he was there for more than one season, junior hockey, but they all talk about it. Gretzky played here. I mean, junior hockey is huge in Canada.
It's their de facto minor league hockey, really. They're not paid, but it's really a proving ground, a breeding ground for the pros. And you talk about Sault Ste. Sioux with Wayne Gretzky. I saw him just that next year, in his first year in the World Hockey Association. He started his major league career in Indianapolis, and that's where my fascination with major league hockey started. But you're right. In the U.S., it's different, and it's changed over the last few years because Division I college hockey in the United States has become much more attractive to quality players. They're not all just going and playing juniors, which is like high school to about 20 years old. A lot of them are coming to the U.S. to play U.S. college hockey. A lot of them right out of high school or about that age will sign a pro contract and play in the lower leagues. And then a lot of the kind of players that you're going to see here with the Tucson Roadrunners are high draft picks of the Arizona Coyotes. This is the new draft for 2016 is just now happening. Mm-hmm. And we have an Arizonan who's going to go, everyone says, as the number one draft. You talk about the Canadians growing up on the ice in Canada. Well, Austin Matthews grew up in Scottsdale. growing his hockey skills. And to be the number one pick in the draft means this is a different era for hockey, especially for Arizona hockey.
You know, I follow the Blackhawks. I grew up in Chicago. I remember the old Chicago Stadium, going to games as kids. And to show you how kind of the evolution is changing a bit from our domestic hockey, everybody usually just pointed to Canada, but I believe Patrick Kane was just recently named as the league's most valuable player, and I think that's the first time, Tim, since an American, a homegrown guy, has won that honor.
Well, once again, as the president of the World Hockey Association, it's my job to explain that the very first American MVP of a major hockey league was actually from, yes, the Phoenix Roadrunners of the World Hockey Association, Robbie Fatorik, who, of course, current NHL fans will know as a coach now in the major and minor leagues. But he was the first American, and this is back in 1977. Mm. But the point you're making is absolutely right. Before, this was a 99% Canadian game. Now there are many Europeans and many Americans. The kinds of players that are coming into the National Hockey League, and the kind that we'll see with the Tucson Roadrunners, is a really cosmopolitan, worldwide kind of population.
And you get a lot of people like myself who grew up in the Midwest or in hockey areas that live in Tucson. Let's face it, there's a lot of people who would like to see a high level of hockey. And I think they're going to get a great chance, because you're going to get, as you say, some, you know, maybe some high draft picks. You're going to get younger players. You're going to get some players who are veterans who are sent down, so to speak, for maybe some recuperating from an injury. But you're going to see a high level of hockey for people who, nothing against the Ice Cats, you know, but you're going to see this is not going to be just collegiate club hockey.
Well, and that was one of the other reasons why the pro teams weren't as successful here as some people would have thought. The AHL is an incredible league with its own incredible history that rivals the NHL. The AHL believes that they're the second greatest hockey league in the world. That may not be true, but boy, they sure are darn close. And as you said, there's so many players in the AHL. The percentage is about 90% of all players who play in the NHL at one time or another played in the American Hockey League. Tucsonans are going to see hockey played at the highest level. And as you say, you know, University of Arizona hockey, and before that the Ice Cats, brought really, really good quality hockey here, but this is going to be a different kind of animal.
What happens to the Ice Cats now?
You know, this is fascinating, and in my AZ Puckman column for the Arizona Daily Star, I'm going to investigate this at length. It's interesting what the Coyotes believe is going to happen to the University of Arizona Wildcats. And I'm going to be fascinated to talk to the University of Arizona to see what they think. Interestingly, the fans that I talked to last Saturday at the unveiling of the Roadrunners, all the U of A fans thought this was going to be very positive for the University of Arizona. The Roadrunners and the Coyotes believe this is going to be very positive for the University of Arizona. We'll have to see how flexible the University of Arizona is to adapt to a new marketplace. I think once the new practice facility is in place, which right now is thought to have perhaps two sheets of ice, that could really, really benefit the University of Arizona Wildcat hockey program, a program so close to my heart. I think if once that new practice facility comes, I think the economics will really improve for University of Arizona hockey.
All right. When we return, we're going to talk some more hockey. Rich Nairn of the Arizona Coyotes will join us. He'll join Timothy Gasson, and we'll talk some more about hockey and why it's very important that this team, the Tucson Roadrunners, succeeds for the franchise, for the Arizona Coyotes, as we continue on the Buckmaster Show.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five-Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pests and termite attractions around the home.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice all live streaming anywhere in the world listening, kvoi.com, and on my website, buckmastershow.com. We're talking about hockey. Timothy Gasson is with us, a Tucson-based filmmaker, journalist who has directed numerous hockey documentaries, authored books, former media director of UA Hockey. He's also president of the World Hockey Association Hall of Fame. He's writing a column now about hockey for the Arizona Daily Star. And joining us on the live line, Rich Nairn. Rich is with us on the live line, and he is spokesman for the Arizona Coyotes. Rich, how are you?
Good. Hi, Bill. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Doing real well.
Hi, Rich. Good to hear from you again.
Rich, why is it important that the Tucson Roadrunners are a success for the home team, the Arizona Coyotes?
Well, I mean, we want all of our teams to be successful. Just for the fans, and to have a successful team means more fans in the building and more fans interested in the sport of hockey. But I think the most important thing, one of the number one reasons why we moved our AHL franchise to Tucson, was just for the development of our young players and, of course, to grow the game further in the state of Arizona. So I think it's a win-win for us. We're thrilled at the reception the fans have given us so far. and we're looking forward to a great season starting in October.
Rich, you know, I deal with hockey media all the time, especially from Canada, and over the last 5 years especially, who sees on any kind of rumor to try to talk about the Arizona Coyotes leaving the Phoenix area, leaving Arizona. I deal with this all the time. Can you talk about how the Tucson Roadrunners now, being here in Tucson, is like a giant billboard? It's like a giant signal to the hockey world. The Arizona Coyotes are going nowhere.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I share your frustration. I've been with the organization since 1996. I moved down with the club from Winnipeg, and you know, we've had our share of ups and downs, but it's never been better thanks to our ownership group. And I think this move to Tucson just further proves that they're completely committed to growing the game of hockey in Arizona. I mean, we could have moved our AHL franchise anywhere, and yet we chose Tucson because we believe in the market and we believe in hockey in Arizona. And hopefully this dispels any rumors about potentially leaving the Valley. Our ownership group is committed to finding a new arena for the team in the Valley, and we see a great partnership between Tucson and the Coyotes for many years to come.
Rich, there's been a lot of talk from the Coyotes about how Tucson isn't just going to be a minor league team shuttered off in some little town somewhere, that it's going to be integrated into the Arizona Coyotes. You're going to explain to the fans in Phoenix how important Tucson is to the Coyotes, and you're going to explain to the people of Tucson how important the Arizona Coyotes are in hockey. Can you talk about the integrated idea that you have for the Tucson Roadrunners and the Coyotes?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, for the development of our players, it's critical. I mean, we've had our team in Springfield and before that, Portland, Maine, and it's just logistically impossible for us to monitor our players closely. And if we have to recall a player for a game, it's a 5-hour flight, probably a 7-8-hour day when you factor in all the travel. And the player arrives and he's just so fatigued and tired that he's really not to his best of ability for that game. So from a development standpoint, having the players and our coaching staff an hour and a half, 2 hours away down the I-10, it's incredible for us. I mean, Coach Tippett and his staff, our GM John Chaika, they can all just get in the car on an off day and go down and monitor our prospects and provide instruction and help them get to the next level quicker. But from a marketing standpoint and a cross-promotion standpoint, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's an extension of our brand within the state to, you know, a million people who are making the trip up to watch games in the Valley. But we can further grow the game, not only for our AHL club, but also the University of Arizona, which we see as great potential. And maybe down the road, there's a possibility of them going D1, like ASU is becoming a D1 program in the Valley. And we have a great partnership with ASU, and we hope to have a great partnership with the U of A Wildcats program.
What can we look forward to, Rich, as far as there's going to be an intra-squad game coming up in October? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of supporting U of A, I mean, October 9th, our head coach, Dave Tippett, came up with the idea to have an intra-squad game where basically it's going to be all of the Coyotes roster, Shane Doan, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Mike Smith, you name it, all of our top players, every single player who makes our team will be coming down to Tucson and will play an intra-squad game with our full roster from the Roadrunners team. So Tippett's idea is to mix the rosters up, but really it's a free exhibition game. All the fans in Tucson are welcome. We want to pack the joint. And we're asking fans to donate $5 to the U of A Wildcats hockey program, which I think is a great gesture on our part, but it just further proves our commitment to helping that program. So it should be a great event. It's a Sunday at 1 p.m. There's hopefully we'll just pack the TCC and everyone will have a great time and introduce those who haven't seen hockey to a great sport.
Rich, let me ask you about youth hockey in Tucson. The Arizona Coyotes do such a wonderful job up in the Valley of promoting youth hockey, and there's a lot of places for kids to play and develop playing youth hockey in the Phoenix area. Can you talk about how the market here for hockey will be so different once you get your practice facility with one, maybe two sheets of ice here, and how the Roadrunners can be so important to the development of youth hockey in Tucson?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the challenge in Tucson is there's only one ice sheet, the TCC. So hopefully down the road, I mean, Rio Nuevo has been phenomenal. Mayor Rothschild has been great. City Council has been great. City Manager Ortega has been great. We've had tremendous support, and hopefully down the road we can have a practice facility, or we should call it a public facility, because all the rinks in the Valley, they're used probably, 5-10% by the Coyotes. The rest of the time they're open for the public and youth hockey. And as a result, the game has grown tremendously. I mean, look no further. I'm in Buffalo right now for the NHL draft, which takes place tomorrow and Saturday. And the projected number one overall pick is Austin Matthews, who grew up in Scottsdale. The only reason why he fell in love with hockey was because of the Coyotes and playing at the Ice Den in Scottsdale. And now he's the number one pick in the NHL. Who would ever thought that was possible 18 years ago? And the same thing can happen in Tucson. 18 years from now, kids who fall in love with the game and follow the Roadrunners could start playing hockey at the TCC or down the road, our public facility, and they could be a future draft pick, an NHL player down the road. So I think it's tremendous for everyone in that market.
Rich, talk a little bit about your reaction to the expansion of National Hockey League going into Las Vegas. What do you think about that that market selection?
Personally, I'm thrilled about it. It's a great rival for the Coyotes, and the proximity of the two cities is great. The LA Kings and Anaheim Ducks are also close, and I think we need more teams out west. I think Commissioner Bettman is has great vision and leadership, and he's the first of all the pro teams to go into Las Vegas, which is a great market. I think many other leagues will follow. There's been rumors about the Raiders potentially going there. The NBA has shown interest. I think it's going to be phenomenal for the NHL. Again, it's growing the game in the West, no different than what we're trying to do in Tucson. And I think they have, 14,000 season ticket deposits. So there's obviously a great fan base there that wants to support hockey. There's a great corporate community which will support hockey. It's an entertainment city. I think it'll be very exciting for fans and sponsors to go to games there. So the Coyotes are thrilled about it. We fully support the commissioner and his vision.
All right, less than a minute to go. Tim Gasson, one final quick question for Rich Nairn.
Rich, speaking of tickets, I was looking at the seating chart for Tucson Roadrunners games that'll start this October, and I was amazed at how affordable the seating packages are for AHL hockey. Will you talk about how for fans, they can buy tickets now, they can get their season tickets now, how affordable the Tucson Roadrunners are going to be?
Real quickly, Rich.
Yeah, really, it's amazing. Tickets range from $10 to $40. I think the most expensive ticket is along the glass. But, I mean, for a family, you can't find more affordable entertainment than coming to a Roadrunners game. So we encourage fans to check out the product. I think they'll fall in love with it. It's the fastest, most exciting game live, and they should check it out.
Rich Nairn, thank you very much, Rich. Look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks a lot. Rich Nairn with us from the Coyotes. Tim Gasson, we'll be hearing more from you. You're going to be a regular contributor here to the Buckmaster Show, updating us on how the Roadrunners are doing, and appreciate it.
Thank you.
For a website, if people want more?
AZ Puckman is my name. You can find me on Twitter, at Facebook, and Gmail under AZ Puckman. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, the Daily Double 8 to 9 with Christy Simone and a different guest host, me, Bill Buckmaster. Back with Ray Allen tomorrow. Have a great day.